All right, our reading will be taken from Daniel chapter number 3, starting at verse number 8. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "Accordingly, at this time, certain Chaldeans came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, 'O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, drum, and the entire musical ensemble shall fall down and worship the golden statue. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These pay no heed to you, O king. They do not serve your gods, and they do not worship the golden statue that you have set up.' Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought to him. So they brought those men before the king. The king said to them, 'Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods and you do not worship the golden statue that I have set up? Now, if you are ready when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, drum, and the entire musical ensemble to fall down and worship the statue that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. And who is the God that will deliver you out of my hand?' Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to present a defense to you in this matter. If our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire and out of your hand, O king, let him deliver us. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, and we will not worship the golden statue that you have set up.' Then Nebuchadnezzar was so filled with rage against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face was distorted. He ordered the furnace heated up 7 times more than was customary and ordered some of the strongest guards in his army to bind up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to throw them into the furnace of blazing fire. So the men were bound, still wearing their tunics, their trousers, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the furnace of blazing fire. Because the king's command was so urgent and the flame and the furnace was so overheated, the raging flames killed the men who lifted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But the 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound, into the furnace of blazing fire. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up quickly. He said to his counselors, 'Was it not 3 men that we threw bound into the fire?' They answered the king, 'True, O king.' He replied, 'But I see 4 men unbound, walking in the middle of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the 4th has the appearance of a god.' Nebuchadnezzar then approached the door of the furnace of blazing fire and said, 'Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here.' So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire. And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, And the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of these men. The hair of their heads was not singed. Their tunics were not harmed. And not even the smell of fire came from them. Nebuchadnezzar said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. They disobeyed the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God." Now I want you to turn to your neighbor. Grab your neighbor by both hands. Look your neighbor square in the eye. Grab your neighbor by both hands. Look your neighbor square in the eye. And say, "Neighbor, break the cycle. Neighbor, break the cycle." Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, "Break the Cycle." We have to understand what is going on at this time. When we look at the book of Daniel, Daniel is showing us that this was the results of the defiance of the people of Israel. Because they did not sustain and maintain God's commandments, they had been placed in captivity in Babylon. The Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar sent his army, dominated Judah, dominated Benjamin, killed a lot of folk, and brought the young and best talent back to Babylon. And in doing so, he figured that they were young enough, they were still at an impressionable age. So what he did, when you go back and you look at this book of Daniel, what he did was, in chapter number 1, Reverend Rhodes, he had their names changed. And then, if you want to change a people, you initially start by changing their identity. You take what they had and you remove it, and now you tell them what they are. We see that happening in America, and it has happened in America for a very long time. We all saw the movie Roots, when Kunta Kinte, they asked him, "What is his name?" And what would he keep saying? But they beat the Kunta Kinte out of him. And they asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, if I can change your identity, it's the first step in changing what I want you to believe. The next thing that he did in chapter 2 is that he said, "I'm going to fatten them up," not necessarily get them fat, but keep them strong. So he fed them the food that he ate, which was for a Jew unclean. But these three, plus Daniel, said to the captain, "Look, we can't eat that. That's unclean. And since it's unclean, we can't eat it. Y'all want the king to kill me because I'm supposed to take care of y'all to make sure y'all eat well? Listen, bring us vegetables and water and we'll be fine. And after a span of time, they looked at them and they really looked healthy and were doing well because they would not adhere to eat what the king wanted them to eat. Then also in chapter 2, we see the king had a dream about a statue with gold and silver, bronze and iron, and feet of iron and clay. And none of his folk could figure out what it meant. So since they couldn't figure out what it meant, Daniel came and explained the dream and interpreted the dream. The king heard all that and said, yeah, that's fine and dandy, but I'm going to make a whole statue of gold to make himself look good. It was 60 cubits, which is equivalent of 90 feet. It was 6 cubits wide, which is the equivalent of 9 feet. So this statue was 9 feet wide and was 90 feet tall. The king was so impressed with the statue, Deacon Aldridge, that what he said is that they're not going to just worship me and the gods. They're going to also worship my statue. So once the music plays and we're seeing that the instruments were identified that were being played. The instruments were the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the drum, and the entire musical ensemble. What is here being identified is that when you hear these instruments, it is your responsibility to fall down and to worship this graven image. And as you worship this graven image, you're doing fine. But if you consider not worshiping this graven image, see that furnace over there? That's where you go. And we're going to burn you up. Now, we're seeing that the one point I forgot to give you was that after Daniel had interpreted the dream for the king, he made him a governor. And then Daniel said, I got to look out for my 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yeah. So they were given positions there in Babylon as well in the city. You see, what is that telling us? When God blesses us, God ain't just blessing us so that we can shout about it. God wants us to be a blessing to somebody working with me. You see, because Daniel could have just said bet and just ran with it. But Daniel said, no, I can't forget about these 3 as well. You see, what he is saying is that we started together and we're going to what? Stay together. So what he would not allow them to do was to just dismiss them. So now they are in a leadership position. And now while they're in the city, imagine that there is a court that is huge. And the statue was in the court. And when the music plays, everybody falls down. Except these 3 young men. Their names are repeated several times. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They are unwilling to bow down to this graven image. So don't you know when everybody is down, it's easy to identify who is still standing. When everybody is down worshiping an image, whoever is left standing will be picked out real quick and in a hurry. Now the question that we have to ask ourselves. They are in an unfamiliar place. Because their God allowed them to be taken into captivity. What do I owe God if God wasn't there for me? Oh, and by the way, they are not the only Jews that are there. All the other Jews who were there with them fell down and worshiped. Which lets us know is that that is the reason why they are in the unfamiliar place. You see, in order for God to get us to break the cycle, he's got to take us to an unfamiliar place. You see, because as long as we're dealing with the familiar, then we will continue doing what we have been doing. We will continue to build a trench of a cycle of things of that are not glorifying to God. We'll find ourselves in the cycle of doing stuff to impress and satisfy ourselves rather than glorifying God. You see, because when I'm in the familiar, I act in a familiar way. But now that they are in an unfamiliar place, in order for God to get our full attention, he sometimes has to take us to the unfamiliar. And this is what happened. They are now in the unfamiliar. And since they are in the unfamiliar, they realize that God is telling them something. And it all started from the whole idea of them not eating the food. Because they're in an unfamiliar place, but it doesn't mean that I forget about the familiar God who has blessed me. So I'm not going to do anything that's going to cause God to be further upset with me. I recognize it wasn't me, it was my ancestors that had been doing these things that caused us to be here. I could have just went with the flow, did like everybody else, but I'm realizing that God brought me to an unfamiliar place because God wants to break the... What unfamiliar place are you finding yourself in? But you're still trying to do the stuff you used to do. And in doing that stuff, you're finding something just don't feel right. And you know why it don't feel right? Because God brought you to the unfamiliar in order for you to break. Somebody's working with me. So what we're seeing here is that whereas the other Jews might have been saying to them, what do you owe God? It's because of God we're here. So I'm bowing. And what these brothers begin to ask themselves, what do I owe God? And you know what they say they owe God? Everything. You know why I owe God everything? Because I don't still have to be breathing. Somebody gonna catch that. You know why I owe God everything? It's because of the fact that I can see you and you can see me. You know why I owe God everything? Because I know where I am right now. You know why I owe God everything? Because I'm able to walk and I'm able to talk. You know why I owe God everything? Because I'm able to clap my hands. Are you getting to where I'm going with this? You know, there are some folk who were bitter because things didn't work out the way they wanted to. So they feel that what they expected God to give them, God didn't give it to them. So they feel that, guess what? I don't owe God. How many folk are in God's house today feeling that I waited on God to do this or that? God didn't do it, so I don't owe God. I told you we're gonna look at this with a fresh lens. We gotta understand something. God didn't bring us to the unfamiliar. Broad Rock, we're going to the unfamiliar, but I'm gonna deal with that in a little bit. When you are in the unfamiliar, you're there because God is telling you something. That it's time for you to do it differently than what you have been doing. Because what you've been doing, where did it get you? So they wouldn't bow, Reverend Herndon. It was evident to everybody what they had not done. And then certain Chaldeans who were the magicians of their time, who could not answer the king's dream, Now you know they were hating on them Jews. It's right here in Scripture. Look at verse number 8. And look, I'll just read it just so you can see. According at this time, certain Chaldeans came forward and denounced the who? The Jews. Why? Because of the fact the king was showing the Jews favor. Don't you know whenever God shows you favor, there's somebody who's hating on you? Whenever God shows you favor, there's somebody waiting for the opportunity to where they can pounce on you. Don't you know when God shows you favor, there's always somebody looking at you, waiting for you to trip, to stumble, or to fall. And if you do, they're going to be the very first ones to call you out because they didn't like how you have the favor. Somebody going to work with me. And because they had the favor of God, they knew exactly what to say to the king to get the king riled up. First thing they say, oh, king, live forever. See that? You got to stroke folk. Be careful when folk want to come stroke you. All they're trying to do is set you up. They're trying to set you up for the fall. Oh, Pastor Boy, I tell you, you really teach, you really preach, and you do this and that. But Pastor, let me tell you something. Be careful of folk that always want to stroke your ego. Can we go on a little further? And then they made it known, king, it's your decree. Your decree, king, which says, your statue, when the horns and all the instruments play, everyone is supposed to fall down and worship your graven image. Yeah. But them Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they don't fall down and worship. And the king said, what? I'm the king. My statue. These dudes haven't come up in here. You see it in the story? He says to them, you do not serve my gods and you do not worship the gold statue that I have set up. Verse 15, now if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, drum, and the entire musical ensemble to fall down and worship the statue that I have made, well and good. Right? You do it? Well and good. He said, y'all just needed to hear it from me. Because now that you done heard it from me, you're going to do the right thing. Because if it wasn't for me, you'd be dead. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have life. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be in the position you are in right now. Y'all don't believe me. Look. 15b. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be thrown into the furnace of blazing fire. Who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? Now he said that to them as he looked at them. And he's about to go to the orchestra and tell them to start playing. But the three young men said, hold on, king, wait a minute, hold on. They can save their breath. They ain't got to play their instruments. But let us let you know what we are all about. They're saying to them, to the king in 16, oh Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to present a defense to you in this matter. Oh, I can stop and preach right there. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I don't have to defend God. You see, what he is making clear, they are making clear to the king. We don't have to present a defense to you on this matter. Because we know who we serve. We know who we worship. And the only one that we worship is God. The everlasting Father, the King of Kings. We worship none other but our God. We will not fall down to a graven image. You see, there's something I want you and I to understand. You see, folk that will praise God will sometimes praise anything. But folk who worship God won't worship nobody but... Oh, somebody going to work with me. Y'all didn't get that. You see, a lot of folk can praise God. But then they're going to pray something else in another minute. But folk who really worship God understand that their existence, their entire being is only here because of the one who created us from the dust of the earth. We ain't nothing but clay. And since I know who my God is, I got to worship him. And when I worship him, then I praise him. But folk who just want to praise God can praise somebody else a little bit later. But folk who truly come to worship God will worship none other but the living God. And will not bow down to a graven image. You see, if I can just digress and take you somewhere real quick. Judas. Name is derivative from the word Judah, which means praise. Right? Judas praised God. But what did he do? He defied him. Peter was weak and stumbled. But Peter was a worshiper. So even though Peter denied Jesus, he himself was able to come back into his presence because he worshiped him. If you understand the only reason why you are where you are, you do not divide yourself between God and something else. You will truly give God the totality of who you are. And there is no competition in you. Because God gets all the glory, the honor. Because I got to worship. Because I know without worshiping him, where would I be? Do you see it? You see, what these young men were doing, they were breaking the cycle. And what the king was attempting to do was to take fire and use it as a weapon, which was supposed to put them back in line. Do you see it? And after they made their statement, they said, you know, our God is able to save us and deliver us from the fire. But if he doesn't, that's all right too. But let it be known this day, we ain't worshiping you or your graven image. That brother's face got twisted. That brother probably couldn't talk right. Started stuttering. They challenged his position. They would not fall down. He said, y'all make that furnace 7 times hotter. You make it so hot that soon as they fall in, I'm going to hear them scream every bit of two seconds. And within 20 seconds, they will be totally burnt up. He said, I want y'all to make sure it's so hot. He goes, Brother Chester, and calls his biggest guards to tie and bind these men up. You see, I want you to know when you go to the unfamiliar, When we go there, God is trying to tell us something. Why? Because he brings us to the unfamiliar to let us know how bound we really are. They're bound. And being bound, those that take them, freemen, to the fiery furnace, as they are throwing them in, what happens to them? Them brothers burned up and died right there. Am I making this up? Right here in the Word. And then what it tells us, y'all, that they fell. Oh, wait a minute. I want to read it for you. In verse 23, but the three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound, into the furnace of what? Blazing fire. You see, fire is something that was created by God. You heard me mention earlier about the burning bush. When Moses saw the burning bush, God used the burning bush to get Moses' attention because he saw the bush burning, but he never saw it consumed by the fire. That's letting me know that God controls the fire. Don't you know that when the Israelites were crossing the Red Sea, that God put a wall of fire between the Egyptians and the Israelites so they can cross over? That's letting me know that God's got control of. Don't you know that we see when Isaiah, not Elisha, prayed when he battled against the 450 prophets of Baal? He threw water all over his offering. Water all around. Then he prayed to God. God sent down the fire, consumed everything up, and then the fire just licked the water right up. It lets us understand that our God controls the fire. So that lets us know there's nothing here on this earth that God does not. Oh, somebody gonna work with me. You see, the enemy will try to use the stuff that works on other folk. He'll try to use it on us. And I want you to know that God will take the things that the enemy thinks gonna kill you, and he used those same things to free you. Oh, somebody gonna work with me. The fire was supposed to. But you know all the fire did? All it did was singe the stuff that had them bound. It singed the stuff that had them bound. By their hands and their feet. All the things that had them bound were the only things that the fire touched. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There's some stuff the enemy sent to try to kill you. But God is using those same things to save you. Oh, somebody. So that which is supposed to snuff us out, God is using those same things to save us. Do you see it? You know why the king was perplexed? Anybody ever attempt to take something off the stove or out of the oven that's hot, and you thought you had on the gloves, but you didn't realize that pad wasn't thick enough on that glove? And when you touch that hot thing, you ain't say hallelujah. You ain't say praise the Lord. When you touch something that's extremely hot, hallelujah. No, you ain't. Tell the truth and shame the devil. Thank God for changing my vocabulary. Because there was a time when I touched something real hot. I said a whole bunch of flying flutes and everything else. But now I just say, ow! But you touch something hot, you give an immediate response. Now, what he was expecting is that when they were thrown into the fiery furnace, he should have at least heard somebody say, ow. Somebody should have hollered for a half a second. He saw his guards dive screen. You know they said something. Oh! Come on now. Come on, work with me now. But they went in there. Violet, not a mumbling word. Sister Pride, he was so perplexed. He went up to the top of the furnace where it wasn't that hot. He looked down in the furnace. He said, well, maybe the reason why I didn't hear anything was that it was just so hot that as soon as they opened their mouths, their vocal cords just burn up as the body was singeing. Because if you got on clothes and you catch fire, that heat hits the clothes, which also all of a sudden connects with your skin. So they can't distinguish between what was clothes and what is skin. So maybe it was just that hot that that's what happened. So, but he needed to have the gratification of knowing that if any other person, fool, stand up against me, they going to get the same kind of treatment. These three Jews got out of line. Now that I put them back in line, not now other Jew will attempt to challenge my power. Because if their God was all that, I couldn't have captured them and dominated their city. So now, when he looks in to the fiery furnace, he had to rub his eyes. You know why he had to rub his eyes? Because he thought maybe the smoke was distorting his view. So when he looked in, he counted. One, two, three, four. No, wait. Hold on now. Hold on. One, two, three. No. I just didn't count right. It's just something going on with my eye. One, two, three. How are these fools walking in this fire? They walking around and there's a fourth one there with them. You see, when you are willing to stand and break the cycle, and the enemy is trying to use a weapon to destroy you, you got to know that no weapon formed against you shall. And I know that there's nothing on this earth that my God did not create. And since my God created it, no matter what he created it for, he can use it for my good. Yeah. Oh, somebody going to work with me. Don't you know it don't matter how it's supposed to be used. When God puts his hand on it, he can use it for it. Oh, somebody ain't work with me. That right there was something for you to understand and connect with. Because all I want you to do, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you're looking at something that was lethal and against God. But look at me now. Somebody gonna work with me. When you look at what God has done with us, when you look at where God has brought us from, when you look at how God has blessed us, when you look at how God has turned us around, some of us were the biggest hellions we thought we could ever be. But look what the Lord has done with us. He has taken a negative and he has turned it into a... You see, my brothers and my sisters, that right there was your moment to shout, because some folk gave up on you a long time ago. But it's because of God's grace and mercy, you were willing to break the cycle. Look what the Lord has done. Look how the Lord has blessed. Look how the Lord has made a way. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who truly understand how good our God is, how he is able to take us and break the... But hold on, we ain't quite done yet. We ain't quite done yet. So we have to understand that God has taken us to the unfamiliar to get us to break the cycle. We got to understand that we worship nothing but our God, which allows us to recognize the significance of who God is. We recognize that the weapons that are used by the enemy to try to tear us down or strike fear in us, God is taking those same weapons and using them for our good. And when we are confronted with those weapons, what you and I got to understand, you are not there by yourself. That God has already dispatched the angel to be right there with you, to bring you through whatever you are dealing with. You see, my brothers and my sisters, anybody in here felt like their life was a living hell? Anybody in here ever been in a situation and found yourself wondering, Lord, how am I going to get out of it? But didn't the Lord bring you through? You found yourself going a certain way. You found yourself talking a certain way. You found yourself moving a certain way. That was God guiding you through his Holy Spirit, and also had an angel over there blocking everything that was trying to hurt you. You see, my brothers and my sisters, when I think about the goodness of our God, I can't help but give him praise. When I think about what he's done for me, I got to break the cycle. I got to see what God's going to do, because I know he's been mighty good. God is using you to break the cycle so that others can see. And even the folk who are hating on you will get a chance to see. You see, because what we are seeing here in this scripture is that King Nebuchadnezzar was so blown away, and he realized that what had happened was the evidence of a divine being. He realized that there was something going on and somebody there who was bigger than him. He realized that these young men had made a decision to break the cycle and not do like everybody else is doing. These young men made it their business to worship none other than the God who is the giver of life. These young men would not allow something that God created to cause fear to come over them. These young men recognized that through them trusting God, when they found themselves in a weapon which was supposed to consume them, God used that weapon to free them and allow them to walk in that weapon, and that weapon do nothing to them. It tells us that when they went into the fiery furnace, how did they go, y'all? They had fell what? They fell. They went. They were bound and they fell down. They were bound and they fell. They were bound and they fell. They were bound and they fell. But I want you to know that every child of God, if you are going to break the cycle, sometimes it feels like you are falling down and you are bound. But what I want you to know, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you ain't going to stay down there. Because I know for a fact that they went in there, they were bound and they fell down. But the fire hinged and burnt the things that were binding them. And then the angel said to all of them, get up. Yeah. Oh, somebody gonna work with me. Yeah. The angel said, get up. Yeah. You are no longer bound. Get up. Yeah. And guess what? What did they do, y'all? Yeah. So what is that telling us? Yeah. Look at your neighbor now and say, get up. You see, my brothers and my sisters, in order to break the cycle, God wants you to break the cycle so that you can do what? How many people of God do we have in God's house right now that know that you need to? I was bound and I fell down, but God told me to. Because God is breaking the sit down just for a minute. I got just a couple more words and then we're gonna shut it down. We almost there. We almost there. We almost there. We almost there. This king, Sister Sarah, was so fascinated by what has happened. You know what he did? He opened up the, had them open, because you know he ain't open. Had them open the furnace door. Right? And once he told him to open the furnace door, what did he tell him to do? Not just come out, but what? He told him to do two things. Come out and come here. He had to see it for his. See, my brothers and my sisters, the folk who are hating on you, when they see how God is blessing you, they're going to want to know how you came out. And then they're going to ask you to what? Oh, somebody. I thought y'all was with me. You see, when folk been hating on you for a long time, when they set you up for the fall, when they saw you fall down, bam, they thought you could not. But don't you know that when you fell, bam, that don't you know there was already a person there waiting on you? It was one of God's angels waiting on you. Because you got the spirit inside of you. And the spirit inside of you was connecting with the angel outside of you. And they were both encouraging you and telling you to what? And now that they see you up, moving around, in your right mind, doing great things, they can't believe you are where you are. So when they see that you have come out, they're going to say to you, Lord, I feel like preaching, but I ain't going to hold you much longer. You see, what we are seeing in the scripture, what is happening here, y'all, is that God is not just changing the minds of the Israelites. He's also changing the mind of the enemy. The enemy was King Nebuchadnezzar. God was using this situation. Because don't you know, also, in verse 27 it says, and the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not any power. The fire had not any power. The fire had not any power over the bodies of those men. Know what? The fire didn't burn their hair, singe their clothes, their tunics. They had no harm, and they ain't smell like smoke. Because you remember back in the day when some of y'all used to go out there and smoke that stuff? You try to be in the car, open up all the windows, let the air hit you. Because you know by the time you got home, you ain't want to be smelling like reefer. The evidence was all over you. Come on now, don't get over holy on me. You know how you ain't always been what you are right now. Or if you wasn't smoking it, but you was drinking it, and then after you drink it, you're going to try to pop down about four or five Tic Tacs and then whoosh your mouth with some Listerine and think that's going to work. But what you didn't realize is you're going to have a burp. Oh, but come on back with me. But what we got to see here in this scripture, the evidence and the power of God was such that their clothes weren't damaged and they didn't smell like smoke. That you had no way of knowing where these brothers had just come from. So you know what that's telling me? That when you break the cycle and God takes you out, I want you to know you ain't going to smell or look like what you've been through. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You ain't going to smell or look like what you have. You see, because that ain't nothing but the power of God. Do I got any folk who understand? The power of God is such that folk who's supposed to believe now will believe. And folk that hated on you ain't got no choice but to believe. The king was so blown away that he said in verse 28, blessed be the God. Am I making this up? Where is it at? Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and who? Who has set his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. They disobeyed the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their break. Church, we are quickly approaching the unfamiliar. And when we get to this, and as we're in this unfamiliar, the way we used to do things, We got to pray. Because God is taking you to the unfamiliar, to letting you know that which worked before won't work now. So in order to see the power of God, you got to let some stuff go, because it's not going to work in the unfamiliar. We, y'all, God showed me this. We are about to do something that is blowing our minds. And we haven't done it before. I don't care where before. We haven't done it here before. Not to the extent that we're about to. And the only way we're going to do it is we have to break. We got to put our trust in the one who has brought all of us this far. But there's always going to be a hater around. And you better let that hater know you're going to hate somewhere else. But my ears ain't listening to no hate. Because my God has been way too good to me for me to turn back now. He brought me to the unfamiliar. You know why he brought you to the unfamiliar? Because you have what you need to do what you need to be done. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were brought to the unfamiliar because they had everything they need to get it done for God. God ain't asking you to do what you can't do. God has given you the ability to do what you need to do. And then that which you can't do, guess who's going to do the rest? It's understanding that God is our source. And if we are moving forward in our source, we don't have to be concerned about nothing else. These three young men move forward in the source of the one who gives them everything. Whatever it needs, God is our source. And he gave them everything that they need. And what happened? They broke and had folk blown away trying to figure out what in the world just. Do you see it? And that's where we are right now. It's not a familiar place. It's unfamiliar. And we got to break some cycles. We truly have to make sure that we are authentic in everything that we're doing. We ain't blowing no smoke. We ain't putting up no false fronts. Yeah, I got my picture smile. But that's all it is, a picture smile. But when it's real, God wants us to be real. So as we move forward, we got to break the cycle of hate. We got to break the cycle of division. We got to break the cycle of us against them. We got to break the cycle of thinking that we're all that, a bag of chips, two sodas and a shake on the side. We are breaking the cycle and realize that we're all in this. It's all level ground by the, and that there's nobody who's up high to anybody else. The only reason why you see me up a little high, because I'm preaching and we got a pulpit so that everybody can see me. But the only person that's elevated in this church, David, his name is. Break. What cycles do you got to break? What things you found yourself so entrenched in doing that it just dominates everything you do? You know, the interesting thing is that Jesus came to break the cycle. He came to fulfill and let folk know we don't go back, we go forward. So we also have to learn how to break the cycle of our vocabulary. We got to break the cycle of negativity in our speaking. Negativity in our thinking. Because if we say our God is all that, and he truly is, then guess what? It's going to come out of you. But if it ain't in you, what cycle do you need to break? What do you have to do truly to be freed? What has you bound? Because whatever has you bound is the one thing that is holding you back. I would, but. But I want you to understand. The weapon that you need to break the cycle, y'all. You know what that weapon is? Faith. And you know what goes with faith? Worship. You have to understand that your dependence on God creates you to have confidence in God. Since we don't have the dependence in God, then we won't have confidence in God. God wants you to have confidence. But you can't have confidence if you don't have the dependence on God. I'm my own person. I'm a self-made person. Really? Really? I am what I am because of God. My dependence is on him. And through my dependence on him, I have the confidence what my God can do. Are you hearing what I'm saying, y'all? God wants you to know he is the only one you and I are to depend on. And when we depend on him, we now have confidence in him. Break! 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 Break!